What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Joining us right now, the legendary John Sterling. John, are you there?
I am certainly here. On pins and needles with you, Keith.
I love you. You're the best. Thanks for joining us tonight. How you been? How's things going for you?
Well, I feel a little guilty at this. I have a show every week on another radio station. And it's on 4 to 5 Saturday afternoon, and we've been on for a little over a month, and it's fun. It really is fun. Nice thing. I wanted to work only Saturday afternoon, and I was able to get a station, a wonderful station, to give me a show.
Well, don't feel guilty, John. I've actually started a new segment that I don't do every night, but I do once in a while. And it's a playoff of the segment that we used to do in the Yankee pregame show where I take your voice and I say, hey, Keith, tell me something cool. And one of the first ones I did, I was plugging your show. So it was you saying, tell me something cool. And what I told everyone that was cool to me was, hey, John still got the itch for this. He's back on ABC Radio this Saturday, his first show. You could catch him. I think that was a few weeks ago. So I'm aware. And I've seen some of your takes and I've heard some of it. And it's good to hear you. And that's why I had the thought recently, hey, why don't I bring John on my show?
Sure. Well, that's good. You're going to ask the questions. I'm going to give the answers. Mm-hmm. Are you happy? You have to be with what the Yankees are doing.
You know me well. I am more than happy. I'm a little surprised. It has been a great month of May, and it seems like every part of this team is clicking right now, from the pitching to the hitting, the defense, the rotation, the bullpen. I don't know. I tried to bring my expectations down after the way that last year ended and the offseason went, but every night, I just said that, they're channeling Mariano Duncan. We play today, we win today, that's it. Every night, I'm having fun watching them win. They've won 7 series in a row, and it's not just Aaron Judge. Anybody can be the hero any night.
Well, that's true. What's really helped them is the back part of their rotation, Schmidt and Will Warren and Ryan Yarbrough, of all people. The two top guys are just out of sight, Fried and Rodon. And also what's helped them is, they got the big guys who I've wanted for a couple of years, Bellinger and Goldschmidt, along with the great Aaron Judge. But what's really helped them is the younger players are really starting to hit. Ben Rice and Dominguez and Volpe and Austin Wells. Anyway, they're getting a fairly deep batting order, something they didn't have last year. And, also very quietly, Keith, I guess they're kind of catching up to the American League. The Yankees have built up a really good 7-game lead They're 7-0 on the loss side over Tampa, 8 over Toronto. This is off the top of my head. And double figures in Boston and Baltimore. Now, there's a long way to go, and teams can still catch up. I don't know. I'd much rather be 7-0 than 7-behind.
Absolutely. And you know what's great, John? They just played the Angels, and they have this Dodgers series coming up this weekend. But then that's it for the West Coast trips. And I know you know all about that. Like, the way they set up the schedule this year, they don't have to fly out to California the rest of the year. That's done by June. Tell us about some of the years where you had to get on those flights and go back and forth, definitely in the later parts of you calling the games.
Well, I mean, that's great, not having to go to California. They're coming home on a red eye. Talking to my Susan the other day, they're coming home on a red eye after a Sunday evening game earlier because on the West Coast, but still it's a red eye. And boy, I'll tell you, even when I was young, really young with the Braves, I felt like I was 100 years old when we'd land after a red eye. Those I hate. So I'm really happy I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned Susan. I love Susan. She was texting me, I think, 2 days ago because I said I had never been out to Anaheim, and I had heard her on the broadcast say that Anaheim, the Big A, is now the fourth oldest stadium in Major League Baseball. And I was like, is that true? And it's been there since the 60s. But, you know, I was listening to her voice on the broadcast. Dave Sims had laryngitis last week. I think she might have caught some of it, but she fought through it. You know how that can be when your voice is your instrument. You know, you got to kind of champ it out.
I've been very fortunate. I was using my voice improperly, and at WMCA, I did a 3-hour show 5 nights a week, and I did the Nets and Islanders, and I raised a nodule, and I sounded awful. And I had an operation in 1980, and you know, I've had no problems with my voice, which is now 45 years ago. And by the way, speaking of numbers, I'm kind of proud about this. I have been gainfully employed for 65 years. This is my 65th year on the air. February 1st, 1960 was the beginning. So I'm a very lucky human being.
65 is senior citizen age, retirement age, and it's very impressive to say that you've been in the game, that so many people want to work in media and sports and announcing for that long. If I can do half of that, I'll be happy. I mean, I don't need a procedure on my throat. I just need to stop going to the Yankee game, doing roll call, yelling for the Yankees all game, and then coming here to do the show.
No, you can't yell, that's for sure. Many, many years ago, and it really was many years ago, Marv Albert told me, because he worried about hurting his voice too, just doing so much work, and he said, and I don't yell at the kids. I let my wife yell at the kids. He didn't want to hurt his voice. So, I'm very, you can imagine how fortunate I am. I might have been 10 years old, 11 years old when I knew I was going to be on the air. And I got on the air when I was 21, and now it's 65 years later. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Still running my mouth.
No, because you're the GOAT. You can do that. And there's so many people listening now that want to hear from you. You mentioned kids. My son is 2. I don't yell at him because I'm practicing patience in his terrible 2s. But how about your kids? And how about the time that you've been able to spend with them? Can you tell us a little bit about that? You don't have to tell us everything, but just share with us.
Well, I mean, I did college for 4 of them. I have 2 boys and 2 girls, for people who don't know. And they're all in their 20s and they're doing great. The eldest, Abby, is going to be married soon to a lawyer, and the others all have good jobs, and they're all wonderful. I'm very lucky. I have kids who love me so much, and we have such a good family. No problems. Everyone loves one another. So I've been lucky in business and lucky in marriage and kids, and I have no complaints.
You're blessed.
That's true.
It's the way you treat people, John. Every time I've been around you, you're so gracious to everyone around you. You don't carry yourself like you're the legendary John Sterling. You make time for everyone, and clearly that has come back to you.
Well, thank you, and it certainly is true. I set out when we had all these babies And I said to myself, all I'm going to do is love them. And it's worked. So I thank you.
Amazing. There's a couple more questions I have for you. Every time a new Yankee hits a homer, everybody wants to know, what would the John Sterling call be? And, you know, we've got Yorbit Vivas this year, who had a homer that won the Yankees a game, J.C. Ascara, and the addition of Paul Goldschmidt to this team and Cody Bellinger, Clay Bellinger's kid, to this team. I mean, this Yankees team has been great. They've been hitting the ball, and it's not just homers, but are there any guys that you've thought about in your head, that's anything that's come to mind of what you would say for any of these new Yankees this year?
Well, I would have one for Ben Rice and for Grisham. And I don't know. I have all these silly things.
Did you call, last year, did you get the chance to call any, maybe not Ben Rice and maybe not Grisham either, because neither one of them were in the postseason. And then Ben Rice wasn't here early in the season and Grisham wasn't getting much playing time either. So we don't have calls for those two.
Well, you never can tell. You never can tell. But, yeah, I think about it, you know, when they hit home runs and such. So, and I told someone once, and it was printed when the newspaper guys were so good to me, writing all these wonderful things when I retired last year from baseball. I could still do the games. My voice hasn't gone back. Isn't that amazing? After 65 years. And I don't want to travel, and I want to go somewhere every day. And that's why I got so lucky with ABC giving me an hour on Saturday afternoon. Any other questions?
Yeah, when the Yankees make it back to the World Series this year, you don't have to come out of retirement, but you got to come to Legends. You got to come to Yankee Stadium, sit there and watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they've got a chance. I really do. Of course, now it's easy to say it because they've won 9 out of 10, and as I said, they've opened up a 7-game lead. But they're a very tough team, managed very well. Everyone plays together, and I really expect them to do well, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe you'll have me on in a few months, and we'll see where they are.
I look forward to it, and maybe if the Knicks season ends and, you know, Saturdays or some other time opens up on the Fan, you can come in here and host a show.
Right. I don't think I can do it under these conditions, but it's a thought. Anyway. I thank you, Brad. I thank you for having me on. You know, I'm such a nut, and I'm so lucky. I've loved sports since I was a little boy, and music. And tonight, I have the Philly game on right now, and the second game, and I'm going to go to the Knick game and go to the Edmonton-Dallas game, and, you know, my life is complete. I love watching all these games. I have 2 screens in my bedroom. That makes it a little easier. So I like that. Anyway, Keith, thank you for having me on. Good luck with your show, and I'm sure we'll talk again.
A true fan, the legendary John Sterling, my man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
888-808-1019. It's about to be 8 o'clock. First hour down, 4 hours to go. The Knicks are about to tip off. We'll get ready to ride along with that game. Taking your calls on the Yankees, on the Knicks, on the Mets. We'll get to it all. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be back right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Very quietly, late in the evening, the New York Yankees continue to roll. And last night, they didn't need a lot of offense. They scored one measly run early, and Clark Schmidt and the Yankee bullpen made it hold up. They beat the Angels 1-0. They sweep the Angels. They won 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. They had swept Texas. They won 2 out of 3 against the Mets, 2 out of 3 against Seattle, 2 out of 3 against the A's, 2 out of 3 against the Padres. So it is a run that has been going on for a while now since they lost that series to Tampa, where the Yankees just go out and they win series. So great job by them last night. But one thing I found very interesting was Ron Washington finally got the memo. Ron Washington twice in the first two innings, and granted they were easy opportunities with a base open, walked Aaron Judge. And even the second time he walked Aaron Judge, they shared a wink. They shared a, huh, hey, I see what you're doing over there. And I wonder if other teams, specifically the Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend, are going to take a page out of the little Ron Washington playbook and really out of the playbook of how you treat great players, which is, I'm not going to let the great player beat me. I will dare Cody Bellinger or Anthony Volpe or Paul Goldschmidt, whoever that day happens to be hitting one or two or three spots behind Judge, I'll let them beat me because I won't let a guy with a 1,200 OPS beat me. So keep an eye on that because two intentional walks last night in the first two innings.
Well, it's about time. I mean, you want the respect, obviously, if you're Aaron Judge. You also want the bat in your hand. But at some point, managers had to not pitch to him. I mean, he's down under 400.
I know. What a bum.
He's terrible. 390. But still, if you have an opportunity to not pitch to him, don't pitch to him.
So I want to give you a stat, and I was doing the math before the show, and this just shows you I'm fair. Okay, I am a Met fan. You guys know that. I host the Rico Bronya. I don't enjoy doing what I'm about to do, but I have to give you the craziest Aaron Judge Juan Soto stat known to man. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Obviously, Juan Soto is off to a terrible start. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge is off to a great start. If Aaron Judge went 0 for his next 150, he would still have a higher batting average than Juan Soto.
Oh, God.
I win. That is my favorite. And by favorite, I don't mean like I enjoy it because obviously it pains me. That is my favorite in terms of, wow, that's wacky. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto stat one could come up with. But I want to be fair to you,
what
Sean.
Is that, like 30 games? 35 games?
Basically. It's like 40. Yeah. I want to give you a shot, Sean, as a Yankee fan, to come up with an even crazier anti-Juan Soto stat. So I'm going to give you for the rest of the show. Because obviously you can't come up with that right away. This took me hours.
Sure.
Can you top Aaron Judge goes next for Wolf for his next 150? He still has a better batting average than Juan Soto. Can you top me with a crazier Judge Soto stat?
It's going to be tough, but I'm up for the challenge.
Okay. Well, we will give you until 5 o'clock today, okay?
Okay.
Fair enough. Tiki, do you think he will come up with a crazier Soto Judge stat?
I'm trying to even think where you would look. for a crazy Judge Soto stat?
You know, like I looked.
Home runs.
I literally just looked at my brain. I looked at the batting average and said, "I wonder how many hitless at bats Judge would need."
Yeah, but what else could you do? I guess you could. I guess you could go OPS.
Yeah, it's complicated math, though. That's the problem.
Exactly. That gets too deep.
Yeah.
Batting average is easy to calculate.
Well, I did the easy one because I wanted Sean to actually have to work at this, especially
all right,
math.
Give me time.
Math is very complicated.
Maybe war? You can get a war in there.
How's he going to figure that out?
I don't know.
We don't even know how war works.
That's a good point.
I could definitively say I'm not looking into war. That'll make my head burst.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Evan Attiki on the Fan. Giancarlo Stanton is such a unique New York Yankee and unique sports figure. If you look at his time here, it's easy to argue he's been a disappointment because he's missed so much time due to injury and at times has underperformed. But he's been a menace in October. He was incredible last October. We were talking about LCS and MVP awards and Eastern Conference Finals MVPs. Let's not forget he was the ALCS MVP a year ago when the Yankees defeated Cleveland to go to the World Series. So Giancarlo's an interesting figure, and a story came out earlier today. Brian Hoke, who does a great job reporting on the Yankees for MLB.com, as the Yankees get set to play the Dodgers tomorrow in a World Series rematch, revealed what players have said about when they received their American League championship ring at a ceremony, I guess, before the season started at the Welcome Home Dinner when Brian Cashman presented these rings to the players.
The Welcome Home Dinner was only, ironically, like 2 weeks ago.
It was only 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I thought the same thing when it happened. I'm like, we're doing this a month into the season?
All right, well, the Welcome Home Dinner was a couple weeks ago. And when Giancarlo Stanton received the ring, he said this, quote, "This isn't the one we wanted, boys. The one we want is in front of us. I better not see any of you guys wearing these around." Badass leader, Jean, who, by the way, hasn't had an at-bat this season, but still is a presence, to which he's telling the guys almost like a warning, "I better not see you with that ring on." What do you think of that?
I love that, though. It's the loser's ring. I mean, it's cool because it means you accomplished something on the at the American League. You're the best team in the American League for last season, but it is the loser's ring. That's how I always looked at it. Like the NFC Championship ring. It's the loser's ring.
You don't wear that ring?
Never. I don't think I've worn it one time.
Really?
Not one time. I got it. It's in the box. I maybe it's taken out of the box twice.
So you agree with Carlos Rodon, whose quote was, first loser. That's what it represented to me.
Yes. Yes. And again, first loser is an accomplishment.
Sure.
But you don't wear it. You don't celebrate getting your ass kicked like we did in the Super Bowl 35. Just don't.
I would have guessed, and I have never competed, but I got one of those replicas from 2000 where the Mets lost the World Series to the Yankees. So that's my closest. Why did I get it? It was a giveaway. It was a giveaway.
So you didn't even pay for it?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't pay.
So that's fine.
Thank you.
I thought you went out of your way and spent some valuable resource to go get a loser ring.
No, I did not do that. In fact, I have to correct myself. It's not 2000. It's 2015. Mm-hmm. The World Series they lost to the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
And the way I view it is once that era of Met baseball ended, I do look at that ring with a sense of pride. Like, yeah, the Mets got to the World Series. I'm very disappointed how it ended. I'm still devastated by how it ended, but I'm very prideful that I watched my team get to the World Series. So what I would have assumed with you and what I would have assumed with Giancarlo once his career is over is once your career is over, you can be more reflective on it and say, yeah, I wish it was a championship, but I'm damn proud of that accomplishment and I would wear it. So I'm surprised that you're saying after your career is over, no. And I guess I'm the minority and Yankee fans are going to think the same or Yankee players would do the same thing.
Well, my career's been over for 19 years.
And you never put it on.
I've never put it on. And that was it was 25 years ago.
I know. Well, that's what I'm surprised about. I figure this is what I would have guessed. If you said to me, Evan, guess what I do with my NFC title ring? My guess would have been you probably kept it in the box. And then maybe a few years after you retired, you're like, you know what? No. F this. I'm proud. I'm going to wear that bad boy. I wouldn't have guessed that.
It was a great season. A lot happened in that season, including Jim Fossil pushing all his chips to the center of the table. It was my first 1,000-yard year. Thunder and Lightning was born that year. It's just one of those things that just, I don't know. It's actually a wearable ring. Like, unlike the Super Bowl ring, which is so gaudy that it just looks weird wearing it. And it's like, it's obvious. You could wear the championship ring and maybe people would notice. Maybe they wouldn't. It's because it's kind of cool. But it's something I just don't have the desire to wear.
Does anybody wear them?
I'm sure some people do, but I just haven't.
I have a question, Tiki. Now, you're saying some people do. You wouldn't. You hear the Giancarlo comment. Here's my million-dollar question. Why are they getting rings? You know what I mean?
Because you were the best team in of half the league.
So I totally understand that. I think that you should get something to celebrate. But when we think of rings, they like are symbolic of the actual final championship.
Why not an ALCS
or NFC championship watch? Why the ring?
Honestly, no, the Pro Bowl gives you a watch. Did we get a watch too?
I think something else other than a ring I think would be better.
No, you're right. You're right. Actually, a souped up, nice, whatever, I don't know, Panerai, right? Or Breitling, because Breitling does the NFL partnership. A great Breitling that has AFC champion or NFC champion engraved in the back of it or whatever it may be. It'd be a cool watch.
But would you wear it?
Of course you would.
But you didn't
because
wear it?
Because it's a cool watch. It's not just a ring celebrating losing. It's a cool watch, but it also celebrates success, maybe losing as well.
It is a great question that Sean asks. Like, we think of rings as the championship, and we do give loser rings out, I think, in every sport.
Yeah, but you did win a championship. The NFC championship is a big deal.
No, it is.
But I bet because it's a ring, people are less likely to wear it because it's not the ring.
Yeah. And in general, I mean, men don't wear rings anyway, so I mean, some do, but
I'm wearing a ring right now. I'm wearing my wedding ring.
Wedding ring.
That doesn't count.
You have a pinky ring?
I do not.
Like, I don't know. Not a lot of men wear jewelry like that. So it would look weird. Like, no. What would be the point?
I get you. Well, good message by Giancarlo Stanton. Hopefully, we'll be back by the end of the month and add another dynamic to this Yankee offense, which has been incredible as they continue to win, and win. And it does set up, and we'll spend a little bit more time on it tomorrow, a very interesting weekend in L.A.
Because now with interleague play, where you face every single team every single year, there's always going to be a World Series rematch. That's a guarantee. And we are getting a World Series rematch this weekend as the Yankees go to L.A. to take on the Dodgers. But here's the reality of the World Series rematch. Just like the NLCS rematch that I experienced last week as a Met fan. Winning that series is not going to make you feel better. Mm-mm. It's just not. The Mets won 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. I'm happy they won 2 out of 3. Like, that's cool. But it is not ever, ever, ever going to take the sting away from the real series from a year ago.
I got one issue with the series, though. Take away the sting, don't take away the sting. Why is this series on the same exact weekend the last time the Yankees visited the Dodgers with the famous Aaron Judge toe injury?
Is it the same weekend?
The same weekend. Mm. Why?
I don't know. Probably a coincidence.
I don't like that ominous part of it. Keep us out of L.A. that weekend.
Well, I got a great idea then. Why don't you DH Aaron Judge the 3 games?
I like that.
Well, it's funny. Aaron Judge returned to Dodger Stadium already, obviously, because they were in the World Series last year. But he returned playing center field.
Yes.
So this is actually his return in terms of being near that chain link fence that derailed the entire 2023 season.
How about that?
And one other thing about that. Do you remember... People would call up the radio station. They called up your show with Brandon. They called up me and Craig saying Aaron Judge should sue the LA Dodgers. Did you get calls like that? No? Yes, maybe. Well, I got calls like that.
Sue them.
And it's funny, right? It's like, that's crazy. How could you sue them? Do you know what's going on right now in Major League Baseball? There is an active lawsuit where former Met Darren Ruff, remember Darren Ruff?
Yes.
Darren Ruff is suing, I think it's the Cincinnati Reds, for an injury he suffered running into the tarpaulin that he claims ended his major league career. So there is an active lawsuit going on.
Yeah, it put him on IL, and then he never came back.
That's right.
And so he's claiming that it ended his career. And yeah. he's got an argument.
Well, can Aaron Judge say you ruined the Yankee season? You didn't ruin my career, but you ruined the whole season.
Yeah, it's hard to say he ruined his career. He hit 62 home runs the next year, 60 home runs the next year.
It didn't ruin his season. It just ruined the Yankees' season. That's what it came down to.
It's been weird. Teams go down 0-2, and then they destroy the other team in Game 3.
Yes.
Right? It happened in Minnesota. Happened Boston. It happened in... No, it didn't happen in the series. Yeah, it did happen. It didn't destroy them, but they beat them.
They come back and win. Right?
Find a way to win Game 3.
Last year in the Denver-Minnesota Conference semifinals. Same thing. Mm-hmm. It does happen. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Sam is in Jersey City. How are you, Sam?
What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Listening in. Yeah, I think one of the main contributors to the... I think it's Tibbs. Because, like you said, Tibbs is just out here lying to the fans. Like, he'll go ahead and start Mitchell, and then somehow Josh Hart ends up playing... Mitchell Robinson. And then Josh Hart ends up playing double Mitchell Robinson's minutes.
Yes.
And that's, like, so ridiculous to me. Another thing is the lack of IQ, like one of the earlier guys said. Like, Cat's 4th and 5th foul. It came, one, from grabbing onto Miles Turner's wrist while Miles Turner's just setting a screen, and the other one from just locking onto his arm. Like, that's just the dumbest thing ever. Why are you doing that? On top of that, Tibbs is running no type of offensive scheme. His offensive scheme is give Jalen Brunson the ball, everyone get out the way, or give Karl Anthony Towns the ball, everyone get out the way. You have to get more guys involved.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to play defense. The Pacers are too fast. Like, I think the Knicks are the more talented team, but the Pacers, like, they're just too fast. They control the pace in every game. Not once have the Knicks slowed the game down. You have to play defense. Because you're not going to outscore them. If they get into a shootout in the next game versus the Pacers, they're not winning that game.
Yeah, no, you're
right. They are not beating the Pacers in a shootout. No, they have to slow them down.
Yeah, but that's easier said than done. Because the Knicks also kind of want to play fast offensively.
Yeah, but they can't against this team.
I know they can't, but setting up half-court offenses over and over and over again and then missing shots... Say that if that's what they do, you're really going to get blown out of the water.
Getting to his point about Cat, watching someone every day, you learn more about them. You know, you could read box scores, you could see stats, you could watch nationally televised games as much as you want. You don't know a player until you watch him every day. And sometimes when you watch a player every day, you appreciate their greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You watch a player and you're like, wow, that's amazing.
I've had the chance to do that as a fan. I watched Jason Kidd every day for 7 years, 6.5 years, and it was, wow, he's even better than those triple-doubles. He's amazing. He's an artist on the floor. Watching Karl Anthony Towns every day, I'll say this as respectfully as I can, he plays dumb. He plays dumb, and he brought up the foul example in which he's holding Miles Turner's hand. It's a great point, and he does that way too often. Way too often we see him commit these kinds of fouls in which you're like, you can't do that.
Right.
You're taking yourself off the floor. You're going to make yourself less aggressive defensively, obviously, if you get into foul trouble. And, like, certain fouls are good fouls. They're smart fouls. They're hard fouls. You're defending. It happens. Some of the fouls that Karl Anthony Towns commits, you shake your head and you're like, what?
I hate to keep coming back to the same issue, but they look like fatigue fouls.
Well, then that goes back to the regular season that they played too much then.
Well, I don't think they played too much.
Then why are they tired?
Because they're trying to run with the Pacers, and you just can't keep the pace of the Pacers. They're used to playing that fast. The Knicks are not.
But some of those fouls are early, so it's even early in a game. So yeah. Is it fatigue or is it low IQ?
I'm talking collective fatigue, not fatigue in the game. I can't put it on low IQ because I don't think he's a low IQ player. When you see guys make dumb mistakes that you know they don't usually make, to me, that's usually lapses because you're, I don't know, you can't collect yourself. And they're too good to not be collecting themselves as often as they don't.
Jacob is calling from Monroe. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm doing great. And Aaron Judge is also doing great. He's the king of New York, no?
Is this a plant by Marash? What is this?
I have nothing.
Where's Jalen Brunson? I don't see him. He's not a king of New York. Being clutch is never king unless you win a championship.
Well, Judge hasn't won a championship.
You shouldn't have given him the crown before he won a championship. Judge is not clutch. He's the king because he has 62 home runs in the season. He has a batting average of .395.
So who's the king of New York then? What's your answer to that?
Aaron Judge.
Oh, it is Aaron. Well, you just defeated your whole purpose because you said you got to win a championship. He hasn't won a championship. No one in this loser town has won a championship.
And we're gonna get to this at a later day. I don't think today's the day for it, but last night's fourth quarter, I think, officially summed up. Jalen Brunson's not the king of New York.
No, it does not.
And that's dead.
It doesn't officially do anything.
He's got to be dethroned, Sean.
Yeah. Well, he should have never been put on the throne to begin with. You can't have the drop fly, but you can't. You know what? Not time for it. Just know that he's not, and he gave it up last
night. Are you watching the Eastern Conference Finals under squarely the prism of Jason Brunson's kingness?
Jalen Brunson.
Is that what I just said?
You said Jason.
Jalen Brunson.
Squarely?
Sorry, I was fantasizing about Jason Kidd 5 minutes ago. Speaking of better times.
Who Stan Van Gundy brought up last night, which I thought was fascinating. But no, Evan, I'm not watching squarely through that prism. I'm watching it as an IBO, some might call it. And part of my IBO folder is this guy who's only bucket in the fourth quarter when he's missed a clutch comes with 16 seconds left as the king of New York. My fat ass. So call whatever prism you want.
Well, I think the problem you're running into is I'm going to use something you said to me against you. Back in February, when Jalen Brunson had some kind of crazy performance and we rekindled the king of New York debate, you said, hey, look, this isn't fair. Aaron Judge isn't playing in February.
Right.
So it's easy for you to just talk about Jalen Brunson. What about come July? You know, when Aaron Judge hits 4 home runs in a game and he's hitting .395, it'll be easier for me to win the case. I think the problem you have now is we're talking postseason basketball.
Okay.
And yes, Jalen Brunson has not been perfect. Well, think about what happened in postseason baseball last October. Right now, Aaron Judge is not playing postseason baseball. He's not striking out with guys on base.
I agree.
He's not being carried by his teammates. So what hurts Brunson benefits Judge in that the flashlight, if you will, not flashlight, the light, the big
spotlight.
Spotlight of October is not currently on him.
I would agree. However, I've always made this case. When it comes to doing King of New York stuff, when it comes to basketball players like Jalen Brunson, you need to grade on a curve. A lot more opportunities, the ball in your hands, it's different than baseball. And on the curve right now, if you're going out versus the Pacers in back-to-back years, and Pacers got a little Astros in them to the Knicks.
Not gone out to the Indiana Pacers yet. I know we are in such a rush to end this basketball season. We're in a rush to talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're in a rush to talk about Kings of New York. We're in a rush to fire Tom Thibodeau. That is not fair. They are down 3-1. It doesn't look good. The series is not over. The season is not over. So whether it's you with the King of New York or someone else talking about firing the coach or trading for players, we'll get there. Just not yet. I think that's disrespectful to what's going on in this series.
Okay. I agree, because it's not over yet.
Right. Exactly. Whether we think it's over or not, it's irrelevant.
Until tomorrow.
Possibly tomorrow.
With my new prediction.
That embalming fluid's out. That means it's over. That's over.
I trust you as far as I can throw right now. Mr. Let's get the broom out with the Pacers up big.
You texted that to me.
I don't remember that. Reggie is calling from White Plains. How are you, Reggie?
Kiki, listening to the afternoon drive since the 90s, man. Pleasure to speak to you guys.
Likewise, Reggie.
Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Got it. Listen, I'm going to tell you why I think Jalen isn't the king, unfortunately, because I'm a big Knicks fan. My uh-oh moment came in game one. The collapse was happening. Under a minute left, Pacers had to foul. Ball in Brunson's hands. I said to myself, we're good. Jalen's going to make these free throws. And what happened? Jalen gave the rock up. He passed it over to Towns. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I turned to my brother. And I said, my jaw dropped. I said, wow, maybe he's not the guy. And maybe it's to your point, Kiki. I think that he was gassed. And they're kind of floundering down the stretch in these games.
Right. I mean, you feel it and you can see it when guys, like, there's an extra energy that makes you, I don't want to say extra athletic, but you know what I mean. Like, you go above your athleticism and you make the play. And you're like, oh, that guy's awesome. You didn't see it. You saw it from the Pacers. You don't see it from the Knicks. I lied, because you did see it from Cat in game three, right? When he's beasting in the lane. He's like, I don't care who's here. I'm bullying my way to the basket. And if you're in my way, you're going to get hurt, type of thing. But you don't see that enough from enough of these guys. And so to me, it's telling me that they're just, like, they're gassed, they're fatigued. And there's something that's making their minds and their bodies not do what they're capable of doing in those moments. Because we've seen them do it.
Yeah.
It's just not happening enough or consistently enough.
One thing that they have improved on after that game one collapse is that they lost game one partially because they could not make free throws.
Yes.
And it's a killer. And it's been a killer throughout Knick history. If you go to a lot of the brutal Knick losses, like take the Reggie Miller game, mm-hmm. the 8 points in the 8.5 seconds. John Starks missed 2 big free throws.
Right.
Like, we sort of forget that, or maybe we don't forget that, but big free throws are missed. So you go back to game one, they missed 12 free throws. It was unacceptable. Since game one, the New York Knicks are making 87% of their free throws. They have responded in these last three games mm-hmm. by taking advantage of their opportunities at the line.
Right. So the problem is you can't apply that, revise history and apply that to game one, because then we'd be 2-2 right now.
Everything would be different.
It'd be so different.
I can't even say it would be 2-2 because I think the mentality of everything is different. If the Knicks are up 1-0, I can't assume game two is going to play out exactly the way it did.
True.
Maybe the Knicks don't lose. Maybe they're up 2-0. So I know we like to do this with series. We did this in the Boston series. Celtic fans did it all the time. I would really be 1-1 or mm-hmm. be 2-0. Like, you can't do that. Everything changes when a result changes. Here are the facts. They're down 3-1. Can they come back? Yes. Are we confident they're going to come back? No, because the Knicks are going to have to do something they haven't done in a while, and that's be consistently at their best for three straight games. And I've been notified that we did our math wrong when we tried to do 48 times three. It's 144. We claimed 148. So our apologies. Bad mouth. We're off by 4 minutes.
Coming off the Yankee game, as they take down the Angels 1-0, they sweep the series. They are 16-4 in the last 20, 7 games up in the division, and 9.5 up on the Boston Red Sox. And you know what? We've done so much Met Yankee, right? We have. And the Yankees, as they get ready to go take on the Dodgers for a big series with their ace on the mound Friday night, Max Fried, and they'll end it with their second ace on the mound, Ryan Yarbrough, on Sunday Night Baseball. That's how good he's been. That's how good this pitching staff has been. It's been an incredible run. After really a shaky start with the rotation, Rodon continues to just be incredible. Max Fried has the best ERA in baseball. What you see with Clark Schmidt is, Clark Schmidt is the prototypical. I mean, the guy is going to give you, last night it was a shutout, but he's going to give you 6 innings, 3 runs or less, 90% of the starts. He is the epitome of an excellent number 4, a solid number 3 starting pitcher. I don't know if he'll ever be better than that, but that is a valuable piece to have as you go through a season when you have a talented team like the New York Yankees and you have two or three guys, if Cole ever, you know, when Cole comes back, or even let's see if Luis Hill comes back. Bat rotation is in much better hands than we thought it would have been with how great Rodon has been and how Max Fried's one of the best pitchers in baseball and what Ryan Yarbrough is doing. But like, we talk so much about Yankees-Mets because of this Soto thing and the dynamic in the city, and they've already had the Subway Series. But I got to tell you, the guy never calls anymore, but I can't tell you how many calls I took about how the Red Sox are the second best team in the American League, and the Red Sox are going to be the biggest threat. And Alex Cora is such a better manager than Aaron Boone. It's ridiculous. He's going to manage circles around Aaron Boone. Well, right now, it is absolute chaos with the Boston Red Sox. They have lost 5 games in a row. The division lead from the Yankees over the Red Sox has jumped from 4.5 to 9.5 over the last 5 games. They just got swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, who every single anti-Yankee person was telling me I shouldn't count the first 3 games of the season because the Brewers are so bad. They just got swept by the Brewers. They have lost like 4 out of their last 6 road games on walk-off fashion. It's an absolute disaster. Alex Bregman is on the IL, and they're not putting Devers back at third. He refuses to even attempt to become a first baseman. Alex Cora has no idea what to do. The team is falling apart around him. They are an absolute disaster. They have such a ton of young prospects and the greatest manager and the pitching staff, and they've actually pitched fairly well. Crochet has been what they expected him to be. He's been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, but they are an absolute mess right now. And if you want to crow, I just got someone, oh, you're an obnoxious Yankee fan. Yeah, listen, if you're not an obnoxious fan, like honestly, this is where I guess I differ, because there's a lot of Yankee fans who just don't care. There's a lot of Yankee fans who don't care that they're doing well. They don't enjoy the regular season. They only notice when the Yankees lose. They only pay attention when the Yankees lose to Colorado and they flip their crap. They don't care about any victory because they're supposed to win, and all that matters is if they win the World Series. I'm not like that. I enjoy the 162. I like the baseball season. I get up for big wins and nice stretches. And right now, they're 16-4 in their last 20. And they are embarrassing the Boston Red Sox without even playing them. They play them in a little bit. It's May. It's going to be June. And the Yankees are going to play the Red Sox. And there's a good chance they're more than 10 games up on them before they see them. When everybody told me I should be terrified of the Boston Red Sox. Who are the two teams in the division everyone said we should be afraid of? The Boston Red Sox and the young, talented Baltimore Orioles. And the Baltimore season is already... The Baltimore Orioles season is already gone. They fired their manager. They're a disaster. They're 16 games out. They're having the most disappointing season in all of baseball. And the Red Sox are crumbling. Alex Bregman, who was a great signing for them and forced all this turmoil by causing a reason to move Devers, is going to be out for 2 months. They're not putting Devers back at third. They're taking their young prospect Campbell, who's supposed to be this great player who was going to take baseball by storm, has not had the season, and they're trying to transition him to first because the roster construction was terrible. So if you think I'm being an obnoxious Yankee fan, my question is, why aren't you? Why aren't you? If you're not an obnoxious Yankee fan right now, if you're not... just dancing with delight that the Yankees have the biggest division lead this early in the season since 1998, then you're doing it wrong. You're not doing fandom correct. I'm not. Do you hear me saying they're going to win the World Series? Do you hear me saying there's never going to be another moment of fear in this entire year? Am I telling you that it's smooth sailing the rest of the way? What I'm telling you is right now, they're as good as anyone in baseball. Anyone. The Phillies are the hottest team in baseball. The Phillies have the best record in baseball. They're playing as well as the Phillies are. They're playing as well as any National League team is. And not just, you know, because they're beating the Angels and the Colorado Rockies. They beat the Mets. They beat the Padres. And they're getting answers from guys like Bellinger, like guys from Goldschmidt, who is hitting 360 and has better numbers other than his power numbers of the best years of his career. He's striking out less. He's hitting for a higher average. He's barreling the ball as much as he ever has. He's just not driving it out of the ballpark as much. But like, he's having a quintessential Goldschmidt year minus the power. The one thing people complain about is Anthony Volpe, and he just drove in more than half the runs in this entire series. They had no bullpen last night. None. They don't have Loaisiga. They don't have Williams. They don't have Weaver. They get six innings from Clark Schmidt, and then they roll out Hamilton, who's been terrible. He finds a way. And then they go to Leiter, who's pitching to a 2.2 ERA this year. After a shaky start, the bullpen's been excellent. The rotation's been excellent. And the offense has been really good this entire year. Dominguez is coming along nicely. Volpe's coming along nicely. They're getting great years from their possible one-year pivot plans of Bellinger and Goldschmidt. And even though he's cooled off, Trent Grisham's having an incredible season. Aaron Judge is the best hitter, maybe, right-handed that we've ever seen in baseball. And they still don't have their rookie of the year starter who hasn't pitched an inning, and their best postseason hitter and force in the middle of the lineup, Giancarlo Stanton. But Aaron Boone sucks, and Brian Cashman's atrocious. If you aren't happy with this team, and if you aren't the obnoxious Yankee fan, then you're doing it wrong. This is the time to gloat. Because in 2 weeks it might change, everyone's aware of it, and in 2 weeks you might not be able to gloat. If you can't do it while you're doing it, what are you doing it for? Enjoy it. Right now they are playing as well as anyone in baseball. And who cares about how poor, like, it's time to move on from the Juan Soto stuff. Like, that's my number one thing. Like, we'll get into it from perspective of a Mets fan. Juan Soto in his struggles, and he's hitting 220. And although he should have had a hit the other day on that, you know, the play where Nimmo ran past him, I don't know how that's not a base hit on that trap, but he hasn't had an official hit since Saturday. He is struggling with runners in scoring position as much as anyone on the team, and the entire team is doing so. He's hit more weak ground balls to first and second base than he probably did all of last year. But it's not about last year, and it's not about the Yankees. We're done with it. He's not here with the New York Yankees, and the Yankees are thriving, and the Mets are pretty damn good too. He's just really struggling, and the offense has been struggling with runners in scoring position. But it's not about Yankee Juan Soto. It's not about Yankees Mets, as much as we'd like it to be. It's about Yankees and now Tampa Bay. It's about Yankees and the 9.5 game back Boston Red Sox. It's about the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers. It's about the Yankees and the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners, who they've already beaten. That's what it's about. It's about the version of themselves. And right now, this version of the New York Yankees is better than it was last year. That team made it to the World Series. I don't know if this team will. I hope it will. I think they're the best team in the American League, but anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. And we've seen them fail and struggle in the postseason. But right now, as much as last year's team was like 50-22, this is a much deeper, more complete team that has depth to it, that has guys you can that come off the bench. They beat out ground balls. You saw Dominguez last night beat out a ground ball. They didn't do that last year. They beat out double plays. They continue innings. They're striking out less, and they have more answers up and down the lineup. Except for maybe DJ LeMahieu, who after a promising start of a couple of games with some good at-bats has been back to the DJ we have seen over the last 2.5 years. So it's not complete. Jazz is going to start playing rehab games, coming back from his injury, his oblique injury, and it sounds like they're going to start playing him at third. And so I would imagine he's going to be your starting third baseman, DJ is going to be your starting second baseman, but that wouldn't annoy me as much right now. One, considering how well they're playing, and two, I think that move is being made not to keep DJ in the lineup, but because third base doesn't have a lot of options and the market feels weak for it, and there are better second base options to go trying to attack and get come trade deadline. So, but right now, they're playing as well as they could possibly play. And Aaron Boone, too. Aaron Boone is managing a team that, you know, not a lot of people liked, not a lot of people thought were going to be this good. Everybody thought that the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox were just as good or better. He's had injuries to the rotation. He's had injuries to the lineup. No Stanton yet. No Luis Gil yet. Devin Williams was a disaster when he first got here. And yet here they are, with the second best record in the American League, one game behind a really hot Tigers team, the fourth best record in all of baseball with the best run differential in all of baseball. 888-808-1019, and we'll get to another thing about Aaron Boone, because there was a thing this series, maybe we'll get to it. Something happened in the first game of this series where Aaron Boone went to Weaver with a 4-run lead, and people are mad about it, and it drives me absolutely nuts. Aaron Boone has had an incredible year. Just deal with it. You don't like it? Tough. Aaron Boone has done a great job with this team. A great job. He's trying to find time for Rice. He's trying to find time for Dominguez. He's trying to find time for Grisham. He's trying to work all this. He's throwing Ryan Yarbrough into the rotation. He's trying to he's trying to massage the bullpen and get Devin Williams right while trying to get all these guys in. You're getting great seasons out of Leiter. You're getting Weaver. You're getting Cruz before he got hurt. Aaron Boone's doing an incredible job. The Yankees are having an incredible season. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Rob in New London. What's up, Rob?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing, bud?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, not too much. Thanks for asking. I really like this team, and I like the comparison game, and I want your opinion. I watched a lot of the older seasons, and I have to tell you, going back to, let's say, 2009, we won a series, and I'm not going to compare a team that won a series to a team that didn't, but in terms of regular season, the 2009 team, they had a lot, they were terrible in the beginning of the year, and then they ended up really doing well. So how would you compare, like, this team in, like, the 2009 team?
Year's team and the 2009 team. The 2009 team...
Just
the team. I mean, the team itself, I know we can't compare the postseason. This team has nothing. This team hasn't played postseason games. It's May, so I can't tell you what they compare that way. I can tell you roster building-wise. I mean, that team was star-studded. That team had arguably the greatest infield in the history of baseball. They had, or at least certainly the most powerful. I mean, they had Mark Teixeira, Robinson Cano, Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez. I mean, they are all steroids, you know, taken out of the conversation. Those are all Hall of Fame caliber. I don't know if Tex gets there. In fact, I don't think he does. Teixeira's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's, you know, he was a great player.
He's
not going to be a Hall of Famer, yeah, but he was a great player. Robinson Cano is Robinson Cano is arguably one of the greatest offensive second basemen in the history of baseball. Jeter is who he is, and A-Rod's who he is. So, I mean, you're talking about, and then you have CeCe Sabathia at the top of the rotation, who's a Hall of Famer. You got Mariano Rivera closing games. I know Weaver's been great, but we're talking about Mariano Rivera. So, like, and their depth was a guy like Nick Swisher. They've got Jorge Posada. Like, it's just, that team was much more talented. That team had more, as much as Judge would be the best player of all of them. Like, this current team has the better player of any of them in Aaron Judge, but that team was just, you know, Johnny Damon. Like, you look at that lineup, that team is more talented. Now, we'll see, and thank you very much for the call. We'll see if this team is capable of doing what that 09 team did, but I don't think it's a fair comparison just yet. I mean, that 2009 team, the last championship team for the New York Yankees, you know, they won 103 games. You're right. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. But it's hard to compare this team to that right now. And this team isn't as talented, but it doesn't mean they can't be as good. Right? I would say it's that 2009 team was more talented than arguably the 2000, the 1998 team, really. I mean, I know that's blasphemy. I'm not trying to say they're as good. They're not. But, I mean, just player for player, Mark Teixeira or Tino Martinez. I mean, Tino Martinez was great for the Yankees, but Mark Teixeira probably had a more consistent career of being a, you know, great player. They were both good defensively. It's close. I know I love Tino, but Mark Teixeira is pretty damn good. Robinson Cano or Chuck Knobloch. I mean, it's not even close. Jeter's the same player. Alex Rodriguez or Scott Brosius. I mean, that team was as talented or better than the 98 team. So it doesn't mean they're better. They weren't. Right? The 2001 Seattle Mariners team, I think the Yankees were more talented then. But the 09 Yankee team was more talented then. But they won. How many games did they win? They ended up losing to the Yankees. But like, just because you're more talented doesn't mean you're a better team. So we'll see if this team can be as good as that 09 team and win a championship. But right now, they're not as flashy. They're not as obvious. They're throwing an old man, Paul Goldschmidt. They're throwing, you know, a serviceable player who's had an up-and-down career after starting, you know, incredibly well with the Dodgers and Cody Bellinger. They got Trent Grisham on it. They've got, you know, Ben Rice. These are all guys who are serviceable, having really good years, and have formed a really good team right now. That's what they are. And it's based on pitching. Over that 16-4 stretch over the last 20 games, their ERA, the starter's ERA, is 2.25. The rotation is completely turned around. And to me, the biggest one, the obvious change, is Ryan Yarbrough. What Ryan Yarbrough is giving you now compared to what Cookie Carrasco was giving you out of the fifth starter is a world of difference. You could also point to what Will Warren has done over his last four or five starts compared to what he was doing prior to that. But the difference on paper going in is Carlos Rodon isn't a number three. He isn't a number two. He happens to be on this team because Mac Fried's incredible, but on almost any other team in the American League, this side of, you know, the Detroit Tigers, like, Carlos Rodon's pitching as well as any ace in the game. Every start, Carlos Rodon is dominant. He had like two or three games where he made that one mistake and gave up a three-run home run or whatever. But like, even then, he was striking guys out at a really good clip. He has been unbelievable. Him and Max Fried are as good a 1-2 punch as there is in baseball. And I think when Williams finds himself, and I know he almost blew the game the other night, but I really do believe that Williams and Weaver can be as good a back end of the bullpen as there is in baseball. You've got your top and your back as good as anyone in baseball.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun.
and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.